I should be writing number 504. Recorded live during a video crowdcast. Catch these crowdcasts on Mondays at 12:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Free to everybody until the end of July 2020. And after that, free to all patrons. Patreon.com/MightyMer.
Well, I should be riding. I should be working on my craft. I should be riding. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.
Hi, guys. It is Monday, July 5th, I think. And, it's super hot out here, but I'm still in the shade, so that's good. And I'm covered in not DEET, but off botanicals, which makes it sound all happy and natural. And they're still like, hey, don't touch your eyes, your nose, or your mouth, and wash your hands immediately after applying this. And, you know, when you go inside, just take a shower. Which makes me wonder how not DEET it is. But I'm very glad that you guys have shown up. I tend to still have a problem with alerting people of this, but my assistant is on. We finally got TweetDeck set up for her, and she will be alerting people to the crowdcast in the future days. I'm still going to be shooting for Mondays. Sorry, I had to send the link to somebody. Totally good at doing this. July 6th. Thank you, Richard. I'm already wrong. Great. One more day closer to my book deadline. Awesome. So, again, it's July 6th and Monday. And I'm going to be starting to put these, even though there'll be links to this on my site, I'll be putting this and putting it in the feed for future people to check out the podcast. I'm checking to see who is here. Hello, Pablo. Hello, David. And Richard's already fixed my little mix up with the date. This is why I stopped doing dates on podcasts. You know, I'm lucky if I can remember where in the list of podcast numbers I am. Saying the date as well as what podcast it is completely difficult. Although I do think it's podcast number 503. Yeah. So it is the time of year I always forget about, which is Camp NaNoWriMo. I don't know why I just never have it on my radar. It might be because of it doesn't have the energy of NaNoWriMo, and the rules are a lot more relaxed. Not that NaNoWriMo has a lot of rules anyway, but it's not start and finish a novel within a month. Although July does have 31 days, which makes it a little easier to do. There are a bunch of people in the Discord trying it out. I joined one cabin and then immediately forgot I was doing it. So, I haven't been updating my word count. Oops. But if you are doing Camp NaNoWriMo and you are a Patreon supporter, check out the Discord because we're talking about it. And let me know how it's going. Let me know how you remember to do it. I don't know what it is. We've been talking there about the NaNoWriMo redesign. They did a major redesign last year. And it did not go over well. I had a lot of trouble getting on. I had a lot of trouble handling all the little hiccups with the site. It's a major site, so it's really hard to redesign. I understand that. But I heard the forums were borked. And that used to be a lively place. I don't go to forums. I used to moderate forums for a living. And that was enough for an entire life. And my assistant is here. Hello, assistant.
Hello.
She is here to sketch anything I might say that's sketch-worthy. We're stealing Len Peralta's, what does he call it? Art prov that he does during his podcast. And I'll be posting it on the feed next time when she gets it done. But that's only if we come up with something interesting to talk about, and that's partly what I need you guys for. So if anybody has any questions or stuff to talk about, let me know, because otherwise I'm just going to talk about Camp NaNoWriMo and how hot it is, and how I am skeptical that this stuff doesn't have DEET. But so work on the book is actually going on, and I'll talk about two things that are surprising. I realize that, especially for a murder mystery, you've got to have more connections that need to be revealed throughout the book. I had several connections, but I needed more for the number of suspects that I have. So I sat down and with a fancy, well, if you don't know me, you don't know that I'm an office supplies junkie. And if you're going to hand me a very fancy legal pad and say it's really good paper and charge more for it, I'll be a sucker at least once. And so I took my fancy legal pad and I scribbled all over it to connect all the people in a sort of mind mapping thing. And yes, I do know that there's mind mapping software. I just never use it. There's something about the brain and the pencil and pen and the paper for planning and outlining for me that works a lot better than typing. It's
different depending on generations.
It's different depending on generations?
I think so.
Okay. Well,
like
I mean,
what you grew up with.
Yeah. That's true. Do you do mind mapping?
Sometimes.
And do you do it with an app?
I do it on Discord unorganized.
On Discord unorganized? You can't draw on Discord, can you?
No, but you can post pictures.
I see. So my daughter uses Discord to do her mind mapping. So I sat down with my fancy pen and paper and just wrote out everybody's motives and secrets and connections that they have with each other. That's going to have to come out in the book. And I felt a lot clearer and a lot better. No, doggy can't sniff, not DEET thing. So Jenny wants to know my favorite crime or mystery writers. Funny thing is, I haven't read that many. I read and watch a lot of Agatha Christie. And usually when I read and watch this, interested and confused to the changes they make. We watched Ordeal by Innocence. Was that it?
Was that the really good three-parter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we watched Ordeal by Innocence this weekend. It's a three-part, three-hour. I think it's on Amazon Prime. Agatha Christie retelling, and it was really good. But then I'm reading the book now and discovered that they changed a lot, including the murderer. Hey, Michelle. Yay, Michelle's here. Michelle and I would have lunch sometime if we weren't in a pandemic. And Todd's here. Hey, Todd. So, yeah, I love Agatha Christie. She's not best with character creation, but she's really good with tying lots of stuff together and kind of like, one thing that gets me is that the people who commit these murders do it in an almost brilliant way, because you have to have the brilliant crime solvers fix it or solve it, which is just like the death on the Nile is so convoluted. I can't believe that it. I had some disbelief. Suspension problem, but it was still, you know, she pulled it off. She's Agatha Christie. But I recently started reading Lucy Foley and devoured her stuff. I read, first I read, The Guest List. I think I talked about that last week. And I just finished The Hunting Party. Yes, Jenny. And those are two very good don't use a lot of mystery tropes. I like The Guest List better than The Hunting Party. The thing is, after reading The Guest List, I had a sense of how she structured her books. And when I saw that The Hunting Party was structured like The Guest List, I figured it out a lot faster than The Guest List. So I like her style, but I'm a little worried that if she doesn't change it up, she will fail to keep people guessing. But still, even though I knew pretty quickly who the murderer was and who the victim was in The Hunting Party, it was still very well told. And the situation with the murderer, if anybody's read it, they know what I'm talking about, was sufficiently fascinating. So Lucy Foley's recommended mainly because she breaks the tropes. You know, like I said, she doesn't tell you who the murder victim is until well into the story. So you have to guess, as it does time hops. You have to guess who the people in the present day are talking about when they're saying, "Oh, I found the guest's body." We have to tell all the other guests that this person's dead. And then halfway through the book, a current day, they might drop a pronoun. So then you can start guessing who the murder victim is, or the murderer is. So it is an interesting style, and not one I've seen before. The Guest List, adding it to the TBR pile. Yeah, the people in The Hunting Party weren't a lot of people to root for. It was, not nice people. Wondered why they were all friends, actually. I guess they are nicer. Yeah, they're nicer. I think the murder victim is much more of a, "Well, that person deserved to die," than the Hunting Party victim. Sorry, I have to keep hydrated. It's hot out here. One thing that's interesting, if anybody's read more of Lucy Foley's stuff, if it sounds like she's got two romances that seem to have the kind of murder mystery connection thing, and then the two straight murder mysteries. And since I'm trying to do more murder mysteries right now, I'm hesitant to read her other two, even though I just zipped through The Hunting Party and The Guest List because they were that good. But one thing she does, and this is a bit of a spoiler, but I think it's important, is she doesn't, does she? Great, now I'm wondering if I'm wrong. There are men in the story who behave badly, and there are men in the story who treat women badly, but she doesn't go down the tired old sexual assault route. And I expected it in some of the storylines, and she never went there. It's like she could use her imagination to think of horrible things to do to people that are not that triggering. And I really respected that. One thing that's really funny about Agatha Christie retellings is a lot of people want to put sex or homosexuality as a secret that is shameful to be revealed, or incest into her stories. And I haven't read all of Agatha Christie stuff, but I'm pretty sure there's no incest or secret gay stuff or not a lot of sex. What's funny is in the Caribbean one, Miss Marple rents her house to a gay man, but that's only mentioned in time, in like passing. And she talks about how people are so concerned and shamed about sex, almost as if they had just invented it. And it says when Miss Marple was younger, there was plenty of it. And I think that's a really bold move for a spinster, an old spinster in the, 40s, to say, yeah, there was plenty of sex when I was a child. Not a child, younger woman. But she doesn't actually put a lot of it into her books. I think there are some where it sort of fits. And so the more racy television of today wants to put it in. But other times it's just kind of, hey, let's make this more exciting for a modern audience and throw in some sex. Did you miss the question you asked in Discord already, Alex? No, because I didn't see it yet. So I appreciate you asking the questions. We are behind in posting Ditch Diggers, but I want to do a shout out to Alex for giving us some direction in the latest episode of Ditch Diggers, because we had to talk about some tough stuff that came up in science fiction and fantasy last week and the week before. Okay, best tips, tricks, and tools you found for breaking editing down into manageable chunks. I really wish I could answer that. I really don't know. A lot of my new novel has to be a rewrite. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's like there's just, it is not the part of writing I prefer. And it's funny, I've talked to my friends Chuck Wendig and Adam Christopher, and they love rewriting. It's their favorite part. Writing is the chore and rewriting is the happy thing. I think what I need to do more of, I'm trying to learn some lessons in my current rewrite, is make a lot of notes on what's working and what's not working. And I think I need to solve these problems away from the computer, which is weird because I usually get my best ideas when I'm writing. But that's like, I'm realizing there's a difference between plot ideas and solving problems within the plot. And you might have missed it earlier when I was saying I did a lot of scribbling on a notepad this last weekend about all my characters and how they're connected and where there are secrets and who has grudges, etc. And that made it so much clearer in my mind. So I'm rewriting the stuff I've already rewritten just to make sure I throw in the right foreshadowing, I guess, or references that need to be in the book, or, you know, get something, don't want to get something wrong. I always feel like I have to rewrite. Yeah, this is something I'm going to have to rewrite. I'm trying not to psych myself out. Thinking I need to figure out a way to outline after written so I can track my plot better. I've done that. It's actually really useful. If you take an existing work and outline it, then you can maybe see the story beats better and see where things might slow down, or maybe where a certain chapter would go better in another place. So I found myself, I also did a lot of restructuring and writing on post-it notes. So I wrote down all the chapters I wanted and then moved the post-it notes all around to decide where in the story different parts were going to appear. And that actually helped a lot. So I think outlining and restructuring and just making a lot of notes and wasting a lot of paper and hurting our planet more is the way to go for rewrites. What do you think? No? She doesn't want to be involved in this conversation. Did anything else come up in the Discord since I was neglectful in the first place? Where is it? There it is. Process for deciding the POV of what you're writing. Todd, that is very important and very difficult. I've talked about POV before and how it tends to make people sympathetic because you're seeing the world through their eyes. You're going to sympathize with a terrible person if you see the bad things in their lives from their point of view. What's funny is the show Hamilton kind of made people fall in love with Alexander Hamilton, but did they really pay attention to the musical? Because there was a lot of stuff in that musical that showed Alexander Hamilton was a pretty wretched person. I mean, you know, obsessive, cheating. Yeah, he did amazing things, don't get me wrong, but he's not a faultless hero. And what's interesting that nobody ever talks about is Aaron Burr was a major advocate for women's rights and having the vote. The dog is concerned about something on the other side of the fence.
He also tried to start a second world civil war using Texas, though.
A second civil war?
No,
Aaron Burr? No.
No, I'm sorry. He's tried to start a civil war.
Yeah, tried to start a civil war. I'm not saying he was good either, especially because he like shot and killed somebody in a duel. I'm just saying that Aaron Burr had some good points that we don't look at. But, I mean, think about it. If Hamilton had been from Aaron Burr's point of view, you would have seen exactly how obsessive and cheating Hamilton was and how Burr was just stymied at every turn. This was a joke I made in 2007 about nature documentaries where you always root for whoever the nature documentaries decide to focus. If you focus on a cute deer, fawn, then the terrible, terrible wolves are awful when they go to kill the fawn. If you focus on the deer, then it's really sad when the deer are starving in winter and you hope that they can find food, knowing that food is probably going to be a deer. Dogs are gross. Sorry. So it's also something with things like Breaking Bad, where Walter was a horrendous person. But people rooted for him and everything because it was his point of view. So, along the same lines, Jamie Lannister never really became sympathetic until we got his point of view. So, that was another interesting turn. So, choosing point of view, I guess you want to decide who you want people to sympathize with the most. Point of view can help. Something I'm considering helps hide mysteries, because if you tell the story from one person's point of view that knows the secret, you can keep stuff secret, but it almost feels like you're very obviously doing so. Yeah, did that answer it? I'm not sure. I think point of view is fascinating. I think about it a lot. Yes. Oh, good. I got been stuck with where my story's going and just went back to outline it now that I've written a good chunk. Yeah, that helps. It helps to sometimes you look at your story with a microscope and sometimes you get in the plane and then fly from 10,000 feet or whatever and get a sense of the whole thing. Outlining after you write the book is actually something I'm going to be advocating for. Yeah, that's sounds like a lot of work for just one bit of writing advice. So maybe not advocating, but anyway. Heard from some people they refuse to read in first person POV because they hate it. Interesting. Huh. Why do they hate it? That's interesting. I hate second. And I know it can be done, but I think you have to have a lot of skill to do it. N.K. Jemisin, an author with a lot of skill. And so she pulls off second person. Also, I think it helps that not the entire series, the Broken Earth series, is not in second person. Only parts of it are. Didn't have a reasonable explanation. It's the leftover from YA stuff, maybe too self-inserty. Maybe. I had a problem with present tense until I read more YA. And then I just got used to it. But I still don't like second. And it's frankly, if anybody is thinking about submitting to Escape Pod, just know I don't like second person. And I'm not going to reject a story just based on second person, but if I start reading your story and I see it's in second person, my first thought is, squirrel. See, that like aggressive growly thing is definitely not what the movie Up promised us with dogs. Yes. She has kept the squirrels from the yard. We're all safe. I know you guys were worried. But, you know, people are going to have their preferences. Some people don't like books that hop through too many points of view. I like it because it gives a variety of interesting, points of view. Squirrels can be vicious, though. Yes, my dog says the same thing. I don't know if this is point of view or just I've been thinking about something recently, and that's, I know this is a loaded statement, but I can't stand the Olympics. I can't stand watching them. And it's mostly because when they find their choice athlete to focus on, they will clearly look into their entire lives and find the most tragic thing that ever happened to them. And then they put sad music behind things as they talk about the cancer or the death or the abuse or the neglect or whatever. And then you'll have the athlete perhaps looking sad and thoughtful out over a field. And I'm so sick of how every single athlete has to have had that kind of story that I'm just tired of watching it, because it's almost all human interest and okay, not almost all, but it's at least half human interest, half sport. And yeah, I guess it is all over media, but I was going to say, we just started watching Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix because we were done with Floor is Lava and we wanted to see more opportunities for people to do really weird obstacle courses. And they do the same thing, but it's not saccharine and smarmy. And I've been trying to figure out the differences. I think it might be Ultimate Beastmaster is they're fast. They don't like do long human interest pieces. They show photographs instead of staged, mournful, looking out the window shots. And they sort of end on a high note rather than, and he's doing this for his dead mother. And even when someone is doing it for their dead brother, it still doesn't make me sick. Similarly, I was watching The Mandalorian, finally, for the first time. Yes, I know, I'm behind the times. And I'm trying to figure out why Baby Yoda is so adorable while we still think the Ewoks need to be killed and eaten just like they did the Stormtroopers. So, I think that might be a presentation. It might be the lack of Yub Yub songs. Fiona's agreeing with me on that one.
Lack of eating people?
lack of eating people, but Baby Yoda does eat a frog. And that's adorable. It's still adorable when he eats the frog. So it's really interesting how I've been seeing things that, you know, if you write it down on paper, they seem to be the exact same thing, but the way they're presented is very different and has a completely different tone. Which is not really point of view, but it is all about presentation. So I unfortunately am not going to be able to go my whole hour, partly because it's hot and also because my battery is not full, unfortunately. Baby Yoda videos got me out of a slump last Christmas. Didn't even watch The Mandalorian. Yes. My favorite Baby Yoda video was the one where he's in the cockpit with the Mandalorian and keeps flipping a switch, but then somebody put the Drop a Coin to Your Witcher song, so Baby Yoda kept turning on the bard singing, and the Mandalorian kept turning it off, and he kept turning it back on, and it was the mix of those two shows that made me very, very happy. So any further questions? I'm going to have to end this soon, but I really appreciate people coming out. This is a lot of fun for me. It's a change of pace. It's getting outside, which is supposed to be good for you for some reason. I'm not sure. And lets me watch the dogs cavort and keep the squirrels out of the yard. And I really enjoy doing it. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. Hopefully we can get more and more people here as I manage to promote this more and more. If there's anything else you guys want me to talk about in the future, if you have a question you want me to talk about live, send it to me and then mention it that you'd want me to talk about it on the live crowdcast. And yeah, I guess that's it for me. Anything you want to add, kiddo? No? Okay. You're going to be my, who is it? Paul Schaefer? Is that the guy? I can't even remember. I know you don't know. Anyway, he's the band director of the Tonight Show. Or one of the late night shows, but it was a long time ago. Anyway, thank you guys all for coming, and I will hopefully see you next week. Same time, same channel, and you guys are awesome for showing up and keeping me entertained. So take care and have a good week and stay healthy. Wash your hands, wear your mask. Even though it's summer, there's still terrible stuff going on. So be careful. And I will see you next time. Bye.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I should be writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. The fact that Doctor Who is on TV.